Buenos días. Good morning. If I don't have the pleasure to meet you, my name is Samua Calderon, one of the pastors here at Grace Midtown. And I normally say this at the beginning of the service, but they place chairs today. They place me here. So there is a lot of good churches in town. And the fact that you choose to come here and make this your familia means a lot. So thank you so much for doing so. Can we celebrate that? Look around. And it's a beautiful picture of God's kingdom. Speaking about pictures, the last 2 weeks, every person who stands here starts in the same way. So it's kind of cool. So I think that it's kind of fun what they are doing. They come and they bring a family picture. And I want to do the same. Okay, my wife, we have a conversation after with me, but that's fine. But I want to do, it's kind of cool, for the records, nothing related teaching pastor with my persona, because I am competitive, I love to win, and that is no way that I can defeat Brian Fisher. So that's why I'm not applying for that. I will never win him a theological argument, and I love to win. So that's the main reason. So with that said, let's have some fun. This is my first family picture. Please, don't look. I know that you are looking to the lady with the white dress. Don't do that. Look to the other guy. I'm handsome too, over there. We recently celebrate 20 years of marriage. But when our church back in Cuba, in Havana, is very close to the capital. If you visit Havana anytime, the tourist guy will tell you that Havana capital is 2 millimeters higher than White House. Don't believe it. But we take that picture surrounded by children, kind of prophetic way, because we later have other pictures like this. You see? It is cool to show family pictures. Those guys know what they were doing, okay? I want you to pray to give attention to Grisel's hands over Shayla. Looks that she's hugging it. No. She's like, Shayla, don't move. Shayla, don't move. Shayla, stay. But it's I don't know what is happening, but it's kind of cool. I used to have something, and I was very flaco. How I say flaco? Skinny back in the day, but the Lord blessed me in a very special way. And the last one, and really important one, is one that we take past Thursday, when we became U.S. citizens. Was a beautiful morning that we received a lot of love through our community. And even when that day there was a lot of beautiful things, there is one that I treasure highly. And it's this one. As we were waiting for the ceremony to start, all of us were given the list of countries that were represented in the ceremony. I believe that there are like 19 countries. People from different nations. It is beautiful indeed. You can see Latin America, South America, Israel, India, Jordan, Syria, Sweden, Ukraine, United Kingdom. And yes, the Grammy goes to Mexico, 20 people from Mexico. But the beautiful of that moment for me was something that one of the spoken persons says. He said, "One of the most fundamental bases of America is found in the first 3 words of the Constitution. We, the people. And today, you are becoming one of we." You are becoming one of the we. As we are in the Luke series specifically, Luke reminds us that Jesus came to this world for all of us, so we can become one of the we who have eternal life. He said in Luke 4, 18, 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives," so it's all about people, "to the poor, captives will be released, blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus' ministry, what's all about we, the people. Not the people of only one country, the people of all the world. So as I play with those words and really resonate in my heart, this is the title for today's teaching. We matters for Jesus. Father, we are thankful that we matter for you. Not because our works, not because our own nothing, just because your grace and mercy. And as we go deep in your word today, may your Holy Spirit lead us to see you as the author of so great salvation. En el nombre de Jesús, all God's people says, amen. Amen. Lessons from chapters 7 and 8 from the Gospel of Luke. Let's go straight to the first one. Our humanity matters. Being humans matters. As we review these two chapters, we can find this main event: the healing of the centurion servant, the raising the widow's son, Jesus exorcised the endemoniado Gadareno, Jesus heals Jairus' daughter, and the hemorrhaging woman. And I will not review all of them right now, but that is like a common theme that those people face: human life, real events. And in all of them, Jesus gave them all his attention. Let's go to the first one. Let's go to the first one when Jesus raised the widow's son. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. One of the things that I really appreciate of, I didn't saw it in Florida, but I see that in Texas, is that every time that there is a funeral procession here in town, all the cars stop. I know that is a beautiful and gentle attitude, but I personally think that it's a moment when everyone agrees that that could be me. That could be somebody from my family. That is human. That is real. Let me stop. Let me pause and show respect. So a funeral procession was happening, and that is the story. But let's take a look to Jesus' reaction. When the Lord saw her, when the Lord saw the mother, la madre llorando, the mother crying, when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. A human person suffering, and Jesus' reaction was not a theological speech. It was inside him. His heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. And then he did the miracle. And at the end, then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And I love that last sentence. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. The disciples were not the key roles over there. So Jesus was aware of how that mother was suffering. And his response was that. Let's take another look now to this story when Jesus heals this lady, the hemorrhagic woman. God's word says that a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years. We don't know her name. We only know that she was in the crowd, one of the many. But Jesus gave attention to one of the many, because we matters for him. Constant bleeding, and she could not find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." And the story ending saying, "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." That is, cover two chapters in this amount of minutes is not easy. But I highlight those words in this moment that teach us, that open our eyes to see how Jesus was sensitive to the humanity of those around his ministry. Human suffers. Nuestra humanidad, our humanity matters. Jesus were aware of people suffering in the same way that he's aware of ours. But he also, in this portion, he was aware of human fears, los miedos humanos. One of the stories that if you grow up in church, maybe some of us remember those Sunday school days when the teacher was very graphic and Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was in the boat and the storm was coming and the Cuban Sunday school teachers were amazing. So they make us feel like we were there. And Jesus said, calla, enmudece. So he calmed. That doesn't come with citizenship. I speak Spanish. So Jesus says to the storm, be quiet and calm down. It's in a scripture. He was with his disciple. Let's cross to the other side of the lake. And they were in real danger. When we talk about humanity, we are not talking only about suffering. Also fears. Fears of so many. And we all, as humans, we face them. Feelings of inside our family, inside our relationship. Feelings of next step. Even if you are about to go to college, you are already in A&M. And right now, depending on the moment you are, you have fears. And when Jesus, the disciple says, Master, Master, we are going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging wave. And then he asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. What a combination of moments. Terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They ask each other. When he gives a command, even the winds and waves obey him. I don't want to spiritualize this story. This story, indeed, we may be heard before that Jesus has the power to calm all the storms in our life. What we are reading here is Jesus the Lord having authority, not only over the disciples' fears, but over the creation. He showed them that he can have authority over the creation because he, according to Colossians chapter 1, he's the creator and the ruler of the world. He can do so. But his focus was to give the disciples peace. Matters for him as well, the human questions. Human suffering, we all have been there. Human fears, we all have been there. But also human doubts. Chapter 7 in this portion is the story when John the Baptist have questions, doubts. So a scripture told us that the disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing because John sent the disciples to ask him, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? So even the guy who announced time before, prepare the way of the Lord, even the way that multitudes follow, have questions and doubts. And I am sure that as a church that, praise God for that, have many leaders, we all have questions, doubts. But look, Jesus answered. So John called for his two disciples and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, are you the Messiah we have been expecting, or you will keep looking for someone else? John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him the same thing, but the response was, look what I have done. Los ciegos hablan, the blind see, everything that Jesus told in Luke 4:18 was Jesus' answer to the disciples of John. It is happening. It is happening. Tell him what you have seen and heard. Blind, seeing, lame, walk, those who lepers are cured, the deaf, near, the heard are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God bless those who do not turn away from me. So being humans matters for Jesus. When we make these affirmations that we all face human sufferings, human doubts, human questions, human fears, I have this question for us. Why our humanity matters? Why our humanity matters for Jesus? Just two verses to affirm that. The first one, Philippians 2, 5 to 8. We should have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He got us. He understand us. He understand all those human moments that we face, because he didn't take that as something to climb to. He took the humble position and was born as a human being. But also the prophet Isaiah says that there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, the human appearance. Nothing to attract to him. A lot of time we might think that Jesus was the Brad Pitt of the first century. We are totally wrong. We are totally wrong. He was, we use one word in the staff to call one of our loved ones in the staff, El Guapo. So Jesus was not the guapo of the class. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. And then Isaiah the prophet reminds us the human nature of our glorious Savior. Why our humanity matters? Because Jesus understands humans such as he is. That's our first lesson. We matter for Jesus. The second one. Yes, our humanity matters, but also our sinful nature matters. Nuestra naturaleza pecadora importa. There is a moment in these portions when there was a confusion about Jesus' identity. After Luke tell us the response that Jesus gave to John's disciples, he said to us, when John's disciples left, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? But Jesus said, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you, quoting the prophet about who John the Baptist was. More than that, he says, I tell you, of all who have ever lived, no one is greater than John, yet even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. When they heard this about John the Baptist, all the people, even the tax collectors, April 15 vibes, agreed that God's, I am American, I know what that means, agreed that God's way was right, for they had been baptized by John. But take a look to the religious people of the moment. But the Pharisees and experts in religious law rejected God's plan for them, for they had refused John's Baptist. What makes us a Bible church? Our expertise in religious topics, or that we share the good news of the kingdom of God. In all scripture, from the beginning of, to the end, what makes us that is that through the word we proclaim what John was proclaiming, the good news of the kingdom of God. The religious people rejected God's plan. Our sinful nature sometimes makes us more religious than followers of Christ. In this portion as well, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. And when a certain immoral woman came to him and she washed Jesus' feet, the reaction of this man, he invited Jesus to his house, a Pharisee. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him, because she is a sinner. But what about him? He lost the point. When we face Jesus face to face, we are all in the same line, equals. We all are sinners. Jesus' answer was, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Porque el que mucho se le perdona, mucho ama. And Jesus has forgiven us a lot. I have a question for us. Who of the presence can change her about this lady and put our own name there? We all. Maybe a different story, but we should come to recognize that we are Christians because the grace of God. Because he loves us so much that he forgives our sins. We are like that lady. Maybe we grow up in a kind of kind home, mother, father together all the life, not, but we are all sinners in the same spot like this woman. And the response for us should not be the religious one, but the loved one, like this lady. Why our sinful nature matters? So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created. That matter for Jesus, because he made us, and our response to him, those who he created in his own image, should be in love and gratitude to the grace of God. We matter for Jesus. Third lesson, our dignity matters. The human dignity matters for our Savior. In this story, chapter 8 specifically, Jesus preached with financial support from woman. And I personally believe that that's Jesus highlighting women in his ministry. Jesus loved everyone equal. And for us, also that is meaningful. When we read this financial support from woman, what that means? Let's read it. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and village, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 with him, and along with some woman who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. People that Jesus transformed. People that Jesus forgive. People that Jesus heal. Among them, they were Mary Magdalene, Juana in Spanish, the wife of Chusa, Herod's business manager. Is not only ladies full of demons. This lady has a position of authority. This lady has a position at the palace managing King Herod's business. So even people of those levels follow him. Susana, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. These ladies that works and with his own resources, they support Jesus' ministry. And I personally believe that that's a step to prove that all persons have dignity at the eyes of Jesus. The woman's dignity, but also the heart's dignity, la dignidad del corazón, la dignidad del alma. I want us to put very attention to this story, chapter 7. When Jesus finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. And at that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. And when the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does. For he loved the Jewish people, and even he bought the property of Midtown Campus for us. He even built a synagogue for us. The religious people of the moment, the respected Jewish elders, and yes, there was a relationship between Roman and respected Jewish, but in the context, we can see that that relationship was kind of, we need your favor. And they consider that the Roman officer, they consider that because his position, because his influence, because his story, because his possessions, because the authority that Rome gave him, he deserved it. As we move forward, verse 6 says, so Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent a different kind of people, some friends. Not a people that have a relationship with you or with me for what we are. No people that are leaders' friends or leaders' worshipers, if we can put it that way. The Roman officer this time is not sending to Jesus Jewish elders, close friends, that he can say to them, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And turning to the crowd that was following him and said, I tell you, I haven't seen a faith like this in all Israel. This man showed us that the dignity of a human person, it is not his possessions, it is not the role that he plays in society, neither the role that we play at church, neither our financial resources, neither our positions. This man remind us that the dignity of a human beings is, as we read before, because we have been made to God's image. The last example in the story about this is when Jesus exorcised the demoniac, el endemoniado gadareno, demoniac of Gadara, I believe in English. I remember that the pastor that officiated our wedding was our pastor, my wife pastor for 20 years, mine for almost 12 years, and he loved this story. The story of this man was one of his favorites, and he said, he teach me this comparison. He called me hijo. Actually, he called me Sammy. He called me hijo. And he said to me, I want you, Samuel, to take a look to the beginning of the chapter, of the story. The man was homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the tomb. So this was the man at the beginning of the story. But Reinaldo usually told me, but this is the man at the end of the story. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane. A full transformation, because even a person in those conditions mattered for Jesus. All of them in the same story, human dignity, our dignity matters for Jesus. Why? Because we have been created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created us. Male and female, He created us. And this is like when your wife makes an amazing dinner and you are like testing it, and she comes close to you and say, "Está rico, eh?" It's like, it's good, huh? I imagine in this moment God contemplating everything. Ha, what a great job I have done. God saw that was very good. Humans, all creations. Then God looked over all He made, and He saw that it was really good. My beloved familia, don't forget that our dignity matters, because we all matter for Jesus. Last one. Our response matters. Theologians and scholars consider that the key passage of chapter 7 and 8, the one who resume everything, is the parable of the soils. Parábola del sembrador. Also, we call that in Spanish. In the meetings that Grace Teaching Pastors celebrate every week, I take these notes from Pastor Jacob Smith from Southgood, the way that he in English describes a parable. The word parable means to cast alongside. It's a story that teaches something new by putting the truth alongside something familiar. The people knew about seeds and soil in that time of Israel. So the parable of the sowers and soil caught their attention, interested them. A parable starts off as a picture that is familiar to the listeners. But as you carefully consider the pictures, it becomes a mirror in which you and I, we see ourselves. And many people do not like to see themselves. But if we see ourselves as needy sinners and ask for help, then the mirror becomes a window to the grace of God. The story says, one day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. I want to go straight to the meaning of the parable, because Jesus was very clear about that. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. And the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message. So the whole story is about how people respond to the message. He continues saying, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear, and the last one, the one that fell on the good soil, represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word. I really encourage you to also try to, during the week, to tune in our other campuses' sermons about this, because all of them are most focused today in this portion, and that will be very beneficial. But how the people from Luke 7 and 8 responds to Jesus' message word? The Pharisees. We can place them beside the road, la semilla, the seed that was on the side of the way. They have the word of God, they hear it constantly, but they reject its truth. We could be sometimes like that as well. We come to church, we hear the scripture, but we don't really accept or believe it. If so, our life is an unfruitful life. The second kind of seed is represent John the Baptist and the disciples questioning Jesus. The first one talks more about salvation. This, the response for those who believe, but sometimes they have doubts. It's the person who experiences pushback and hostility because of his or her faith. And we, many, can place ourselves in different moments of our life when we face hostility for our faith. The doubts, the questions, an unfruitful state is due to temptations and trials. This is a person who is not rooted in community, not in a regular habit of prayer and scripture, or perhaps they just experience the general trials of life. And as a result, they simply stop trying to produce fruit. The other could be represented by the Pharisee, the one in Luke 7, that invites Jesus into his home, but when a sinner goes above and beyond in serving Jesus, he just can't reconcile that redemption, that the grace of God. It is not through human expectations, but through the lens of heaven. This soil represents the greatest barrier to spiritual growth in our generation. And it is simply distraction business. Pleasures that become the focus and the pursuit of those things that the world tells us are most important. And lastly, the fruitful one, the good soil, la buena tierra. And these are the demoniac man, the centurion, Jairo, or the woman that wash Jesus' feet. The life that is producing fruit for Christ's kingdom, actually reading the word, praying regularly, gathering with community of saints to worship and to grow together, practicing generosity in order to remind ourselves of what is eternal, serving humbly and even anonymously, and so much more. In response to God's grace, we reorder our life and priorities. Why our response matters. Because anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. But anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. I don't want come like El Coco, like with fear, like, oh, if you don't believe, you go to... No. This is the most amazing truth of the gospel. Jesus inviting us out of his great grace and love to believe in him. And believe in him, believe in his words, believe in the community of the saints. Ask for help. I can by myself. Can you pray for me? Can you walk with me? I need to tell this to somebody. That's what it means. Believe in God's Son. Those who believe in the grace of God has eternal life. You remember that at the beginning of my picture Photoshop, I told you to give attention to my daughter, the one that Grisel was? Yeah? This is my favorite Sheila's picture. Are you ready? By the way, don't tell her that I showed this picture. Okay? Raise your hands. You promise? Thank you. I love it. She have that curly hair. And during a Father's Day, she did it in America, so she was older. But she gave me a coupons notebook. He said, Dad, this is my gift to you. A coupon for a hug. A coupon for obedience. I use this a lot. Coupon for unconditional love. Coupon for support. Coupon for me. But I have to show it. It's like this. Sheila. So, I respond to Sheila's gift. If I don't respond, I don't get it. The gift is there. And you get the illustration pretty forward. The grace of God. Because the Son of Man come to seek and save those who are lost. And as the worship team come back, and Kayla, please lead us from the keys, I want to invite us to respond to God's word this morning. So today, you can become one of the we. Not we the people of the United States of America, but we the people of the kingdom of heaven. Can you bow your cabeza, head? Father, I am inviting my brothers and sisters, myself, to respond to your word. If you are in the first that you think less of yourself, or somebody else tell you less of yourself, take a look to the cross. If you think of you with less dignity than the one that the Creator gave us, let's respond to that. We are not what the people told us that we are. Our identity is found in Jesus. You are what Jesus created to be. We have been made to God's image. So don't be shy. Don't be shameful. Believe in the grace of God. Even if you are a believer that are walking far from God, even if we are walking far from God, let Jesus dress us, clean us, and take a seat with Jesus in our life. Let's respond like, yes, God, I believe. Let's respond that like that centurion man, that man who said, I am not worthy of nothing that you have for me. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I am not even worthy of come close to you and meet you. But let's all remember that Jesus was already on the way home. Jesus was already on the way home to that man. And today, Jesus is here, invited us to respond to his grace. So I do want to take this time seriously and invite you to respond. There are people in this community that will love to walk with you and to speak with you and to let you know that we all are sinners, and those sins are many. But the grace of God has opened our eyes to the Creator of the world. And we respond to him, Lord, I believe. I believe in you and I receive. I take that you are giving me. Yes, I want your love. I want the eternal life. I want everything. And I give you my life, my whole life, to follow you, to obey you, to listen to you. If in some way you feel moved today to respond to God's word and believe him, in repentance, in obey him, maybe restore your friendship with him. But I want to invite you to stand if you have a response to give to God this morning. Wherever you are, you can stand and let this be your prayer. How deep, how great is our Father's love. En el nombre de Jesús, and all God's people say,